listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Hello and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, September 19th, 2018. I'm Dr. Doug Kelly here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening. Glad to be here.
And, of course, Michael Kelly is also with us.
Good evening, everyone. Always happy to be here.
The Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this weekly program, we also have several other educational programs. They can be seen on our website at metaphysicalhumanism.org. I'd like to read our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. The first one is do no harm, do right. The second one is we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. Number 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4, we are all equal, one planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6, we are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7, self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8, metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9, expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. And again, these principles of belief are expanded on our website at metaphysicalhumanism.org. I'd also like to mention that paying it forward is the work that metaphysical humanists do, and we look for opportunities to do just that. In fact, just today one of our students recounted an experience that he or she had. It was in a different country, but they were going to work. They were on the train. They were getting on the train or about to get on the train or subway, whichever it was. And a homeless person was going to, you know, when the doors opened, he was standing there waiting to get off. And he had a little suitcase, you know, the kind you pull along that he was going to pull behind him anyway. There was a barrage of people wanting to get on, and they kind of just rushed on, and he fell down, and she stopped to help him back up, and one of the wheels on his suitcase had broken, and anyway, she ended up giving him some money to buy a new one. And so, you know, that's the kind of do right stuff that we need to be alert to, and I'm sure that all of us would do that very thing. But she said that there were some of those getting on were making fun of him, which is, you know, not very nice. So just an experience, you know, this kind of stuff happens every day, you know, the ways that we can pay it forward. So I just wanted to mention that. But we do appreciate those of you joining us live, as well as those listening to the broadcast, the archive broadcast. We appreciate your time. Glad you're here. And we're going to talk tonight about the topic of thinking big, which is the opposite of thinking small, you know, and you just hang tough. We'll have other blinding flashes of the obvious coming up here. But this topic, I've always tried to think big all my life, and it's a topic that I've thought about many times. I remember back when I was younger, 18, 19, it's the youthful vigor that you have at that point. But I mean, I was just high on life. I just wanted to do everything and anything and everything. I wanted to accomplish things and explore and experience life in all its forms and all its facets. You know, I was into my music at the time. I had an interest in science. I had an interest in electronics and archaeology, you name it, you know, paranormal, ufology especially. And I had a lot of interest in different things, and I wanted to just go out and do and experience and explore and all that. And, you know, and it's that attitude. And I was inspired by a couple of notable historical figures. Leonardo da Vinci was one. You know, I always admired how he could do so many different things well. And also Isaac Newton was another one who did many different things well, too. And, of course, they were brilliant in their own right in different ways. But they were good examples, at least for me. I did look up to Thomas Edison as a lad. But then as I got into my adult years, I realized that he, you know, electrocuted elephants to prove a point. And so he immediately rose to the upper echelons of my it list, which he's where he still is. And so I don't use him as an example. Tesla is a different story. But anyway, the point that I want to make is that all my life that's been my attitude. And if you look at where we are in the world in terms of our evolution, in terms of our technology, and no matter where you look, any organizations you see out there, whether they're big companies like Microsoft or IBM or Apple or whoever, they all started in one place as an idea in the mind of one individual. And the individual that had that mind thought big. And it's not just those companies. It's other organizations. It's charitable organizations. It's any company that you see that's started. These people are trying to think big. And if they didn't, we wouldn't have what we have today if people didn't think big. Now, not everybody does think big. Too many people don't think big. And that's the point of this program tonight. I'm going to pause for a moment to see if there's any comments by Dr. Hunter or Michael, and then we'll continue.
Well, the only thing that occurs to me in this subject is people usually only dream within their reality. And it's conditioning. And so you dream as far as your thoughts can go. I don't think Microsoft or any of those companies, to be honest, thought that they would become multi-billion-dollar corporations. I think there would be a small inkling of a hope. Everyone who invents something wants to revolutionize the world if you're an inventor. But I think in daily life, generally speaking, I think some people just aspire to getting a job or, you know, finishing high school or, you know, it's thinking big to do what? You know, it's in perspective of how we see the world, I think. And there's
ourselves.
And I think there's very few people who there's just a comment about Elon Musk. And, you know, thanks for that, Edward. He was 5 years old. And, you know, one of those, I think he's just one of those rare kinds of people at five. He couldn't understand that people didn't think like him. And he was inventing computers at age 10. And that's a compulsion. So his world was his own. And thinking huge just came with the package, I think. But that's a really rare occurrence. I think, generally speaking, we're conditioned to live, be, and excel even with just within our limited scope of what we think reality is.
Good. Any comments, Michael, at this point?
Well, I like a lot of what we've been talking about thus far, and my only addition would be a lot of what one thing I really use thinking big for is not only to think about the big picture, but also to provide context for my own life to help understand my place in the world. You know, thinking big in a lot has a lot of different ways you can approach that. But one of my favorites is to, if I'm feeling overwhelmed by things and I'm thinking that, you know, there's a lot going on and you feel the stresses of life. Well, I try to stop, kind of visualize, third person view of myself. I pull out and I see the town that I'm in, right? All the people living in, and then I pull out, I look at the country, and then I try to pull out, I look at the planet, and then in my mind I try to pull out, I see more of the universe. And when you kind of look at all of it in kind of, or you try to as much as the human mind can, in a holistic way, you see your place in it. Not that we're unimportant, but that we are one of many, and our problems are shared by many others. And we're not alone. And we're going to get through this because a lot of people have gone through a lot of problems and we've gotten through things before. So thinking big to me is also a lot about context.
Good. And there's a lot of things that go into thinking big, too. And, you know, as I'm pondering all the comments you both made, I'm also remembering back to school days when teachers would say I was a daydreamer. And people accused me of being a dreamer. And, you know, at the time, they weren't exactly being favorable about it or positive about it. Today, that was the greatest compliment I could have received. Yes, I am a dreamer. And sometimes a daydreamer, but that's a great compliment. So if you've ever been called a dreamer, good for you. You know, that's a good thing to think big. All right. So, and it's interesting that you use that analogy of broadening out, because it occurred to me too earlier today that when we look at who we are, think about this. If you were going to make a planet, you wanted to share life, maybe you're God, so you want to make a planet, and what are you going to do? You know, okay, let's make a planet, we'll put life on it. Okay, so you make a planet, what kind of life are you going to put on it? Well, we'll just put humans on it. Well, is that enough? You know, you think about this planet where there are millions of species, both past and current, both extinct and current, currently alive, millions of species over the eons of time of all size, shapes, and types. And that's just this one planet. And as Michael said, you kind of zoom out a little bit, and there's not just a planet, but there's a solar system. You know, that's thinking even bigger than just one planet, isn't it? You got a big sun, and you got the eight planets proper, along with the dwarf planets and everything else that's circling this thing. And is that enough? Well, let's broaden out some more. We got a galaxy, 100,000 light years across. You know, we're what, 24,000 or 25,000 light years from the center, and you've got this huge galaxy with who knows how many hundreds of billions of planets and stars. Well, stars especially. I mean, I've heard anywhere from 100 billion to 600 billion. It just depends on who you ask. But it's big. Is that enough? Well, let's think bigger. Let's broaden out. Now we have the local group and the Virgo supercluster. We keep broadening out until we're just part of a filament. And we keep broadening out. And the deal is that there are trillions of galaxies in this universe. And I personally have no doubt that every one of them, or for the most part, if not all of them, are teeming with life, both microbial and sentient, and, you know, evolved life. Trillions of galaxies, and some of them have up to a trillion stars in them, like Andromeda, for example, they say has a trillion stars, our next closest galaxy here. And then beyond that, what do we have? You know, this could be one of a multiverse. Maybe our universe is just a bubble, and there's lots of bubbles, parallel universes, or just other universes that are not necessarily parallel, just additional universes, and they're like bubbles in this big expanse of whatever that is. And then you keep zooming out, and what's beyond that? You know, we have no idea. The point is that human beings have an innate desire to explore and to accomplish and to think big. And if you don't fancy yourself as a big thinker, maybe it's time to think about that and think big about thinking big. You can do this in all sorts of areas, daily tasks, projects, your objectives, your contributions to the world and others, your capacity to think creatively and outside the box, your ability to think critically and solve problems and being flexible. You know, your capacity to provide value to other people, your capacity and ability to overcome obstacles and challenges that are thrown in your way. You think outside the box. You do a 180 on it. And this is one of the things I talk about in course B5 of IMHS curriculum on critical thinking skills and problem-solving skills. You know, I tell you about the 180 principle, and where I got that, or why I came up with that, was because of a story I read in a little publication called U Squared. U with a little, superset number two, U Squared is the name of it, been out for, gosh, I don't know how long, 15, 20 years or more. Anyway, Price Pritchard is the author, and he talked about the fly at the window. We've all seen this, the fly buzzing at the window, and it's desperately trying to get outside, you know, into that big world outside. And what ends up happening? Well, so often the fly just dies, and it's there on the windowsill dead. And all it had to do was turn around 180 degrees and fly through the open door behind it. And so many problems and so much of our life is like that, where we think we know the direction to go, just like the fly did. He's trying to get past that window, but it was blocking him. And we're sometimes the same way, when all we have to do is do a 180. We have to paradox it, in a sense. Turn around. Sometimes the solution you're looking for lies behind you. And in that, by that I mean, sometimes the solution you're looking for lies outside of your belief system. That means you need to expand your mind. Think bigger. Get more data. Think bigger. And then the solutions may very well and will likely manifest themselves to you, because they will include information or concepts that you were unaware of before. And so that's the point of 180, doing a 180 and looking at it from different directions and asking yourself questions like, what would I do if I couldn't fail? What would I do if I had nothing to lose? You know, what would I do if there were no consequences? Michael was talking about this yesterday, about living with no, you know, as if there were no consequences. And that's a different story, but the point is that we can think big in so many ways. And another aspect of this is thinking like a child. You know, children, they're curious, have a curious nature. They want to do everything. They want to see and experience, and they ask the questions, and it goes on and on. We all know that. There's some things that can limit our ability to think big. Procrastination. Short-term thinking is another one. We need to step back and look at the big picture, the long-term picture. Also, negative thinking will hold us back, making excuses, you know, as to why we can't do something. And that's the thing that I, one of my pet peeves is, you know, how hard can it be? It may be hard, but how hard can it be? The fact is that if we can think it and we can dream it, we can accomplish it as in time. Now, I'm got to be reasonable about that too. If I want to, you know, jump on my warp ship, starship, and, you know, travel to a different galaxy or whatever, a different star, that ain't going to happen in probably in the next year or two. And they may not, it's probably not going to happen in several lifetimes, but it's going to happen at some point. But we need to be reasonable about it. We don't want to make excuses for why we haven't accomplished what we want to accomplish. You know, sometimes we can overthink things too, and I've been guilty of that. Especially analyticals can do that, where they overthink it. You know, they'll think it to death, and they'll end up getting busy on consequential things or insignificant parts of it rather than the main part of it. You know, and another aspect of that will limit us in thinking big is seeking perfection. The interesting thing I've seen about businesses in my adult life, and I've always, anytime I've been to any conferences or anything like that, I've always been asking the people who were successful, how were you successful? What'd you do? What'd you do differently? Why did you, you know, do what you did, and how did you get where you're at? And you know, very, very few, surprisingly, astonishingly few, could tell me specifically what they did to be successful in their business. I always thought that was fascinating. So these people tended to have an instinctive approach about them. They instinctively knew what to do, but they also thought big, and they didn't stop. They don't stop. You can't stop. How hard can it be? Well, it's not hard if you keep doing it. You'll eventually get there if you have that tenacity and that determination. And you don't worry too much about perfection. In fact, I've even seen a lot of people who I was shocked that they were successful like they were. Why? Because they didn't know they couldn't. They were almost dumb in a good way. They didn't know they couldn't succeed. So what'd they do? They kept at it. They kept at it, and they were finally successful. So I'm going to pause there. Any comments?
Well, actually, if you ask Elon Musk, it probably will happen next year that we travel around the moon.
Yeah. Well, for that, yeah, we can do that.
You know,
warp drive's a different one.
I think there's many reasons that some people can be more successful than others, and statistically, I think it's also about opportunity. You know, that some people have opportunity. Have opportunity to create opportunity or know how to go about having it. And I know that there's a book called Outlier written by, the author will come to me, probably it's in the back of my brain file, it'll come up. And he talks about why some people are more successful than others. And one of the biggest examples is hockey players, and most of them most of the successful NHL hockey players have birthdays at about the same time of the year, within a few months. And that, he explains, is because of the cutoff dates as these boys are coming up and as young hockey players, and how they can get promoted to the next level. And some of them are like a month past the cutoff, but so then they're the oldest in the next group, but, you know, they just missed the boat when it comes to age. So statistically, there are some reasons of why some people can be successful. And then we look at other reasons of some people just don't know how to create the opportunity. There was another study that started back in, I think it was, I believe, the 60s, where Malcolm Gladwell, thank you, Patrick. Thanks, I didn't have to dig so hard in my brain file. I think it was back in the 60s, there was 100 Mensa subjects, Mensa meaning super high intelligence, the over 140, 150 range. And they were monitored throughout their life and into the 80s and 90s about who was more successful because of their higher intelligence. And the result was like maybe two would be what society would deem as successful. The others, you know, they figured it out. They didn't want any part of it. It didn't mean they weren't genius, but some guys are just happy to go, you know, work on motorbikes. So I guess what I'm saying is that success isn't always measured by just go get it. Some people want to be a rock star and they can't sing, you know, or can't play an instrument. There's a reality to it. But there's other reasons of why people are successful. I can only say from my experience that not only did I have a desire to be a writer, I also found opportunity. And as soon as a new newspaper started in town back in the 1970s where I lived, in the late 1970s, I watched this paper and I found a hole in what I thought they were missing from it. I went and pitched an idea, and that was my first gig as a professional writer. And, you know, who'd have thunk? It was a beauty column I wrote for 10 years, in fact, but that gave me opportunity to write for film, television, independent production. Boy, I learned as I went. So it was also about meeting opportunity, because his name was Elio Agostini, I'll never forget that, who was the publisher of that paper. He took a chance on me. You know, he just said, do you think you can do it? And can you write a sentence? Do you think you can carry on? And you know, it didn't hurt that I knew a few other people, so those connections made a difference. But you have to have the desire meets opportunity. And if you don't if opportunity doesn't fall in your lap, then you have to seek the opportunity and take the step toward that opportunity. We don't always know where life is going to go or how that's going to go, but it's fulfilling your own desire. And I think that's the motivation for most people, is to fulfill a burning desire that you have, you know, in your soul, in your spirit, in your heart. Mm-hmm. And that's the way I see that.
Michael, any comments?
You know, really, I got to say, I've just been listening to it all and eating it all up, because it's been some good things to hear from me myself right now, and just helping me think about other things in my life. But no, I don't think there's really much I could contribute at this moment.
Well, Jenny in the chat room talks about fear being a huge factor in success. Nobody wants to fail, so they don't move forward. And that's true. There's fear of failure. There's fear of success. And that's another aspect of thinking big. We have to keep fear at bay. Look, there's no reason why every one of us can't have all the good things in life the same as anyone else. There's no reason. There's an abundance out there. We just need to figure out how to access that, and that's thinking big. That's creatively thinking. And tenacity and stick-to-itiveness are what are two of the, and really they're the most important thing in any success. Because as Dr. Hunter brought out, it's not just intelligence that's going to get you there. You know, IQ score is what I'm trying to say. Yeah, you're smart to get there, but it's the stick-to-itiveness. It, you know, all these overnight successes we hear about that took 20 years to happen. That's what I'm talking about. They stuck with it. And so we, how hard can it be? You know, and that's what I tell my clients too. I don't want to hear all the reasons why you can't do this. Stop thinking that way. That's negative. It's using excuses. If you want it, then keep after it. If you don't want to do it, then change.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. I really believe, if I can add to Jenny's comment, fear being the factor to fail. I really think if there's a fear, it's of embarrassment and being different. I believe that the greater fear is of success. If you're successful, it means your life will change. If you are successful, you now kind of separate yourself from the pack. When you are successful, you have to do something with it. And can you manage it? So I don't think fear of failure is honestly the larger consideration. It's the fear of success. You know, Fran mentioned earlier that she's been accused of marching to her own drummer. And I think that's a testament to, you can't worry about what other people think and what they feel and what they're going to like you. And we all do. Don't get me wrong. It sucks when, you know, you look at your people in your life differently, and you have to choose between these friends and this kind of reality, or following your own spirit, following your own calling. And that's a huge crossroad for anyone. And that's where I think a lot of people then turn around and they start getting successful, and they want to bring all those people they knew with them. But those people didn't want what you wanted. So that's where it happens, where somebody starts a business. Oh, I want everybody to, you know, partake of this. They hire them all, but they didn't really care about the business, and then everything goes a little sour. So, you know, it's, if you have a dream to do anything, whatever that is, I really don't think it's the fear of failure. It's the fear of leaving people behind and you being different.
Yep, those are good points too. And so we have to manage those fears. And I'm going to wrap this up with a few other comments. But before I do, I want to just say, if you'd like a card pulled, put your name in the chat room. So, you know, some ideas for thinking bigger. Ask yourself some questions. How can I do this better? Is good or better than anyone else? How can I think more creatively about this? How can I take this to another level? How can I think even bigger? And there's another nugget, another concept, and then some. And that's one of our cards too. I wonder if that'll come up tonight. But think about that, and then some. Whatever you're doing, ask, and then some. What could I add to it that would make it even a little better? And you know, you can keep adding on to it. Now, obviously, you can't keep going forever, but ask yourself that question, and then some. What can I do just a little bit more? How can I tweak it a little bit more? How can I go after a little bit more? How can I do it a little bit differently to make it even better? And realize your dreams and your goals. So these are some great points on how and why to think big. If people didn't think big, we wouldn't have any of the technology or any of the luxuries that we have today. But fortunately, the world has got a lot of people who think big, but there's more people who could think big. So, you know, find find your calling, determine your purpose, and, you know, as in line with your mission and with what brings you meaning in life, and go after it and never, ever give up if that's what you want. And if it's not, if you're not willing to trade that off for it, then choose something else. But think big and never say it's too hard. Never shrink back because of fear. Just go after it. Remember, everybody's entitled to it. Everybody has the right to walk their own path. And that's another thing, I'll end it with this, is that I've always done is I've walked my own path, especially in my later adult years. And that meant that some people fell by the wayside because they weren't willing to walk that path, and that's fine. That's their choice. But I wasn't going to change my path because it's my right. And I kept going on my path, and those people are not in my life anymore, and that's fine. That's their choice, and I respect that. But I'm not changing my direction to save any of the relationships that I once had, because they didn't identify with me anymore. I mean, we didn't have the same things in common anymore because they weren't willing to think as big or as expansive as I was, and that's exactly the reason why they didn't, you know, our relationship didn't survive, because they were scared and they let it overcome them. All right, so hopefully there are some good points in there for you. And
well, you know, if I can say this, Fran picked number 43 for the group tonight, and I'd like to read it because I think it's applicable. No, number 43, expediency. Timing is everything. Some things call for expediency. Others require us to slow down. If you have a problem, you can take care of it now or suffer longer and still take care of it later. It takes courage to face important matters when timing and opportunity avails, and wisdom to know when to slow down to assess the correct actions before acting promptly. For success in anything, do what you should do when you should do it.
Well said.
It is a good one.
I know the people that wrote that.
Michael, maybe you'd like to select a card for Edward, please.
Let's begin with Cecilia. She put her name way up.
Oh, did she? I'm sorry.
And then we'll go to Edward, yeah.
Oh, no worries, yeah.
Have you got one for Cecilia?
I do have one for Cecilia, and I actually pulled number 6. It's a wild card number 6, Entropy.
I haven't had that one in a bit.
Within the cycle of life, there are useful energies, low entropy, that can wane to useless or high entropy. Their energy stands still and their entropy increases. They no longer give value to the evolution of life. This can include an attitude or behavior that requires adjustment to once again take a new step in renewal and rebirth, thus lowering one's entropy. When one seeks to be part of the solution rather than part of the problem, that one lowers his or her personal entropy and the world is a better place.
That ties right in with thinking big, because if we don't think big, then entropy is a lot faster. And of course, entropy just means things go back to a state of disorder. But as long as we keep after it, we minimize entropy and we benefit, and everyone around us benefits as well.
Well, I have Dr. Edward, and I picked number 12, Spirit, Cosmos, Divine Energy. Drawing this card indicates the evolving relationship you have with your own inner spirit, or higher self, within the context of the greater universe. You are growing your relationship with cosmic consciousness. Continue to observe and appreciate the interconnectedness of all life forms within the fabric of life, and the important role you and they play. That's an awareness thing, Edward. I like that. It's great. Great little message there, I think.
All right. Jenny next, or Patrick's next, I guess.
Jenny.
Yeah, I think Jenny is next. And Jenny, I pulled another number 6. This is number 6, Boundaries. Yeah, I think that's the first time I've ever pulled the same number, be it a wild card or one of the
regular normal suits.
Boundaries. This card represents boundaries. It's important for you to establish clear boundaries for yourself. Equally, it is necessary to be aware of others and to not overstep or encroach on their boundaries. This is a mark of a self-complete individual. Reassess and assertively protect your healthy boundaries while looking to see if you are overstepping elsewhere. Begin with asking yourself, who owns me?
Good.
Patrick, I have number 4 for you, past, present, future. The 3 universal laws of personal responsibility are, 1, you're accountable for your past, present, and future. 2, don't expect others to do for you what you can and should do for yourself. Number 3, don't do for others what they can and should do for themselves. Remember, present circumstances reflect past choices. Embrace responsibility and move forward with renewed vigor. You know, one of the things that just popped in my head in context of our topic tonight is sometimes we do focus a lot on doing for other people what they could do, not taking care of what we need to do for ourselves. Mm-hmm. And that's just a little thing, if that resonates with anybody. If you've got one of those little issues where, you know, look, we're not talking about passing it forward and doing good for people. We're talking about not allowing free will for people to learn lessons and participate in their own life. So if we're focused in that way, and I've seen that a lot, actually, in life, and I probably, like, I'm guilty of that myself at some point. When you let that go, you have more space in yourself for you to be able to do what you need to tend to. So it's just something that popped in my mind there.
And, of course, the epitome of codependence is doing things for other people that they could and should do for themselves. And yeah, we think about that. They could and should do it for themselves. Now, that doesn't mean we can't do a nice for people. It just means that if we're in a habit of doing things for people that they could and should do for themselves, then we're enabling them in an unhealthy behavior, and we're engaging in, we're basically assuming responsibility for another adult, which we don't have the right to do. All right, I think that's the...
Michael, if you could grab a card for Fran there, that would be good.
I have that one. It's another wild card, my personal favorite, wild card number 1, Paradox.
I like that one too. Oh.
A truth can be found in seemingly contradictory ideas. What may seem like a false proposition can be a set of new ideas and ways of thinking. Your solution may lay in the opposite direction than you think. Keep in mind that the cosmos works in equals and opposites. Not all truths lay in common opinions. This may be a time for contrarian thinking and opening your mind to what may not make sense at first, and thus new perspectives are discovered.
That fits in with our discussion tonight on thinking big. We talked mm-hmm. about the paradox and all that, and that's so true. I can't tell you how valuable that lesson was to me at one point in my life, that I tried for years to solve a problem and I couldn't, because the solution I was looking for lied outside my belief system. Once I expanded my belief system, then the solution was very apparent and I took advantage of it. And so if you have a problem that you can't seem to solve, you need to expand your belief system. You need to consider things that you wouldn't have otherwise considered doing in the past. I'm not talking about illegal or immoral things. I'm just talking about different things. In my case, it was religious constraints that kept me bound and kept me enslaved, really. And once I expanded beyond that, then the solution was there. So, anyway, good points. Mm-hmm. A lot of good. Any concluding comments, Michael?
Well, I was just going to say 2 things. One, while I was reading that card, I kept having thoughts of the story of the fly, mm-hmm. trying to get out the window, door open behind it. The other thought I had is, and I hope that Fran corrects me in the chat if I'm wrong, but I'm almost certain I pulled that card for Fran before too.
Could be.
But
that's good. All right. Well, again, we've talked about a lot of interesting things tonight, how and why to think big, expediency, entropy, spirit, cosmos, divine energy, boundaries, past, present, future, and, of course, paradox, and a lot of other little things here and there. So hopefully you found some value in what we've talked about tonight, some of these nuggets. It's good to see somebody in the chat room, and we appreciate your time. Thanks to Dr. Hunter. Thanks to Michael for your time as well. Thanks to those listening to the archive. And until next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.